Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back in the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Second half kickoff with myself, Logan Booker, and not Dave.
No, we're going with Josh second half, yes.
So it was not Dave for the first half, and now we'll spill the beans. We've been talking with Josh Connor this whole
right.
time.
Right, yes, I'm not Dave. That not was Dave. First half.
Well, Josh, as always, thanks for stepping
Absolutely.
In.
When
Dave has stuff to do, we always like when you come in and hang out with us.
Love it.
Again, we don't know where Dave is. We never ask those questions.
We're not supposed to. That's all right. We're okay with that.
Mm-mm. Just let him be gone. And I know this. He says he'll be back tomorrow. And I'm going to go with that.
Yeah.
If he's not, we'll get you back in here,
Josh. I'll
have
my phone right next to me, just in case.
We appreciate it very much. The morning show, a lot to talk about this morning. Just the horrible, horrible news about Kobe Bryant, the legacy that he is leaving behind him. And just a very sad day for sports in general. And a lot of Georgia basketball we got to get to, some Georgia baseball on the horizon. A lot of football news has happened over the last couple of weeks. And speaking of couple of weeks, it's been a while since we've had our next guest on. He was down in New Orleans covering the national championship game a couple weeks back. So we didn't bother him while he was down there. Then last week we had Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So for the first time in a couple of weeks, without further ado, thanks for joining us, Mike Griffith. How have you been?
Oh, it's been busy, hasn't it?
Oh, I know. You've been very, very busy. We certainly appreciate everything you do for Dog Nation and joining us on the Ref as well. But just first and foremost, right off the top, we'll talk some Georgia sports here in a second. But everybody that works in and around sports, and even those that don't, were hit pretty hard yesterday with that news of Kobe Bryant. Where were you when you found out, and what does Kobe mean to you the years that you've covered sports and been around sports?
Yeah, you know, I was on my way to the Georgia women's basketball mm-hmm. game. You know, and I was going there because, you know, they were playing number one South Carolina. And, you know, that was a newsmaker opportunity,
yeah.
You know, for the Bulldogs. And then on the way in the arena, I guess I started to hear stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it hit me. I mean, I sat in the back. I watched the game from inside the arena and just kind of thought to my, you know, tried to put it into – you know, perspective, put it into scope. I mean, first you just kind of, for me as a journalist, it's like, okay, what is this, you know, what does this mean to where I'm at right now? What does this mean to our local audience? And, you know, my first thought was, you know, Kobe and basketball and, you know, Dawn Staley over there, she was an Olympian and a Hall of Famer, and surely she knew Kobe Bryant. And, you know, what effect would it have on those girls playing? And then, you know, it didn't take long, you know, to put it together that he was coaching his daughter. And suddenly I realized, you know, this is, you know, it's a loss of an icon, a sports cult figure globally. But Kobe Bryant was playing a very important role for women's basketball, mm-hmm. maybe a more important role than anyone else. Because just last week, you know, he said that there were some WNBA players, and he named a few, that I put in my story last night, that he felt could play in the NBA. I mean, when a guy like Kobe Bryant speaks, his involvement coaching his daughter, the things that were happening, Kobe Bryant was a rising figure in women's basketball, and I realized what a loss this was, you know, for the sport that I was at. And so we talked with Joni Taylor and Staley after the game and did a story just about that, because there's so many aspects to this, Logan. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, for me personally, you know, when I went and covered the Olympics in London in 2012, I had 2 days off when I was over there, because you're over there for like 27
right.
days. So there's no way that I'm going to take days off when I'm in. So one day I went to Wimbledon and did a story on Federer, and the other day I covered the men's basketball team against Argentina. and that was when I got to see Kobe play. So, you know, those were, as a sports writer, I guess you've got bucket list items. And, you know, I saw to it that on those days I was able to document, you know, two great figures in Kobe Bryant and Federer. And, you know, that's my personal memory.
Yeah. Great stuff. No, we appreciate it, and I encourage everybody, go to dognation.com and read what you wrote last night. I poured over it yesterday as well, and it was nice of you to bridge that connection between, you know, not just women's basketball, but having the quotes from Dawn Staley and Joni Taylor last night. So I encourage people to go check out your work there as well. And just, we've been talking about it a lot this morning, Mike, before we move on to other stuff, but Kobe off the court, just such an influential person as well. And I know you're a family man and yourself. It's just trying to fathom what he's leaving behind and what that's going to affect on his family is just heartbreaking. It's just not a good day for sports or even the world outside of sports, is it?
Yeah, no, and it hits close to home. I coached my daughter in softball for 8 years and made all those, you know, trips to practice and all that time away. And, you know, I know there's a lot of parents and families that, you know, spend a lot of time at games and spending money for these sports. And, you know, and when it was all over, you know, my daughter went to junior college. She had a scholarship, mm-hmm. and that was rewarding. And then she didn't end up going to the big school. You know, she had an opportunity to, you know, to walk on at an SEC school. They gave her an invited walk-on spot. She didn't want to play, which, you know, drove me through the roof, because it's like, you realize if you play for an SEC school, you'll always be something and somebody. Yeah. But, you know, it just wasn't fun for her anymore, she said. And I was talking to a friend and talking about, gosh, all these years and all this money we spent. But then we started talking about all the times. I said, you know what? You think about the time we spend with our kids, and if we weren't spending all that time and taking them to all those games, what would they be doing instead? So I guess I would just say to the parents that are in the middle of this that don't know how they do it, that do the pickups, the drop-offs, the coach, and it seems like such a stress on their life, just give yourself a break and ask yourself, what would you rather your children be doing mm-hmm. than spending time with you in the car on the weekends or at events? So there's some perspective there that I would share. And a part of me is glad that Kobe was able to spend that time with his daughter. I mean, there's no doubt that this is an unbelievable tragedy and loss, but, you know, I'm glad that he had that quality time with his daughter, for sure. And the influence that he's had. And right. And it'll continue. It'll be talked about. That is a part of a great legacy of a global figure and something, you know, in addition to the competitive mm-hmm. fire that we all want to emulate. You know, hopefully there's a lot of people that want to emulate the coach and the father that Kobe Bryant was for his daughters.
Very, very well said, Mike. I wish we had a happier topic to move on to, and Georgia men's basketball as it stands. The beginning of the SEC schedule, it's understandable to an extent to drop a couple games to Kentucky, drop a game on the road at Auburn. Those are not what I and many other people would consider a bad loss. But this game this weekend against Ole Miss at home in front of a sellout crowd, not to mention, I know it doesn't matter to them, but a lot of very high-profile football recruits in that building as well, and you lose to an Ole Miss team that had not won an SEC game yet. They were 0-5, I believe, going in. Mike, you wrote about a freshman wall that you think Anthony Edwards may be hitting on Dog Nation right now, but what's going on with this Georgia men's basketball team right now?
You know, I told myself I wasn't going to be angry, Mike, this morning, but you brought something
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm not mad at Georgia. Yeah. I'm not mad at you guys. You know, but how about the SEC office giving Georgia's schedule where they got to open mm-hmm. play in five straight NCAA tournament teams?
Not an easy one.
That? How's that for a draw? You got to play Kentucky twice in a 2 week period, which I don't even understand how that happens. You got to play Tennessee, which they waylaid Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They beat Tennessee by 17 points, a team that beat them by 46 last year, and they knock off Tennessee and probably their best win of the season. That was on top of a Memphis game. They beat a top 10 team on the road. Do you realize, you know, and I was talking to somebody yesterday that was bringing up Tom Crane, and, geez, I just don't know about Tom Crane. I said, well, I do. I said, do you realize that was only the – when Georgia beat Memphis on the road, That was only the second time in program history that Georgia had a top 25 road win against a non-conference team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So you win those games, but you know, you play at Auburn, which was undefeated at Auburn, right? That's, you know, who's going to go in there and win, right? Who's going to go to Rupp Arena and win right now? You know, you lose at home to Kentucky. You had a 9-point lead. You played good basketball. You beat Tennessee by 17. But you go to Mississippi State. They're heating up. They just knocked off Arkansas. You play them on the road. I mean, this has been brutal. I mean, what a brutal schedule. You know, SEC office giving Georgia these five straight games. And Ole Miss, by the way, was an NCAA. So Ole Miss, yeah, they've struggled. But as Crean said, they came into Georgia, you know, they were desperate too. So I look at it as a young team that's had their confidence shaken, that was dealt a very, very difficult schedule by the SEC office, and now they're trying to get it back together. Now they got to scramble. They've got to get their confidence back. There's 9 freshmen on this team. This is a long season. November seems like forever ago when they opened in the exhibition. So we'll see what happens. I know you got Tom Crean. I think he's as good a coach as George could ask for. I think you got Anthony Edwards. This kid's 18. He should be a senior in high school. You know, this poor kid with the weight of the world on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. He's doing everything he can to win. You know, I don't. It's disappointing, I know, but you know, you really got to pull for those guys because they've worked really hard and they've scored a couple of really big wins this year that have let you know. This is not last year's Georgia team. Sure isn't Mark Fox's Georgia's program.
Speaking with Mike Griffith from DogNation.com.
Mike, we're going to move to something maybe that won't make you angry, Mike, this morning. Georgia had a big recruiting weekend, Georgia football did, full of cooking contests, axe throwing. What can you tell us about the 11 official visitors that Georgia had on campus in Athens this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't keep up a lot with the recruiting weekend. I've been writing a lot about the coaching changes. Mm-hmm. And
there's been a lot of those.
Kind of been, you know, well, I mean, yeah, every day you wake up, it's like, well, what's, you know, as I said, Kirby's wheel in the sky keeps on turning. I mean, you don't know who's going to be where tomorrow. I mean, you know, the Coley left for A&M as we kind of all thought he would. When Todd Monken was hired, that was kind of, you know, because you thought to yourself, well, could Coley stay on staff and work with them? I mean, we saw at LSU they brought in, you know, Joe Brady and Steve Ensminger stayed on board, but obviously that isn't what Coach Coley wanted. You know, Kirby gave him an assistant head coach title. To me, that tells me that Kirby left the door open for Coley if he wanted to stay. I mean, otherwise you don't give him a title that justifies that $950,000 salary he was making in Georgia. But it looks to me like Kirby extended that opportunity. And it just wasn't what James Coley wanted at this point of his career. And Buster Faulkner got brought in as a offensive analyst. I think that raised some eyebrows because he was the Southern Miss offensive coordinator. And now I think we're all kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop and Buster to get a staff job, a position job. Why would somebody give up $100,000 a year in salary and a title to come be an analyst? I mean, it's not crazy, but you've got to think that maybe – Faulkner has an opportunity to be a position coach, a quarterback coach, and work with Todd Monken and work with the incoming Jamie Newman. So there's been a lot of moving pieces. I mean, I give Kirby a lot of credit, you know, quite often, but even now, you know, this off season to me has been unbelievable in terms of the changes, the energy that's been brought on offense. It all has to play out on the field for mm-hmm. sure. And, you know, it's never easy when you lose a guy like Jake Fromm, a winner, a great representative of the school. But when you look at what Kirby's done in the offseason, I just don't know if you could have asked for a better scenario than landing an offensive coordinator that, you know, oversaw the most prolific pass offense in the NFL 2 years ago and the number 3 rated returning quarterback in the nation, according to Pro Football Focus, and Jamie Newman. I mean, it's you know, I guess we'll see what Kirby's got up his sleeve on signing day because he never disappoints.
That's right. I guess we have not had you since the hiring of Todd Monken. So when you first saw that news and we all got that press release or the graphic that Georgia put out, and right underneath Monken's picture, that was when we all found out that, hey, he's listed here as offensive coordinator. Now, I've seen you on many different platforms, Mike, and you and I agree on this, that Georgia should never hang its head after going 11-1 in a regular season, but every single Monday we'd walk in here and we would have callers and we'd have emailers very upset about a Georgia win because the offense, the lack thereof, did dominate the headlines, so to speak, for the entire season. But let me ask you, were you surprised that Kirby did pull the trigger and make the switch? Because I'll tell you, I thought he was too stubborn to do it, and I was very surprised when it came out. What were your thoughts when you saw that that was going to be the change?
You know, I read somewhere recently that a genius has a neutral mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kirby Smart is a football genius. And I think that when Jake Fromm decided to leave, that meant it was time for a new style of offense. Kirby felt like, knew that he could win a national championship with Jake Fromm. I mean, we saw it, guys, we saw it in 2017. You saw it right before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The defense lost that football game, right?
Right.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, I agree with you. No, absolutely.
I mean, that the defense blew the game. Second and 26. The defense, not Jake Fromm,
yeah.
Not the offense, not the scheme, not the fact that you ran the ball a lot because you had Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. The defense lost that game. So before everybody wants to go off on the offense, let's remember that it was the defense that stood between Georgia and a national championship, mm-hmm. not Jake Fromm. So Kirby knew, and this is my thesis, Kirby knew that, hey, if Jake comes back, he can win a title. He believes in Jake Fromm. I mean, there's slam dunk. We saw it. We heard it over and over. And he asked Jake to do what Jake needed to do. So when you're playing in Missouri, when you're playing Kentucky, when you're playing, I don't know, whatever team you're dominating, you don't need Jake Fromm to throw for 400 yards. So the game plan is built to win the game, not win the statistical battle, not win the Heisman Trophy, not get on ESPN, to win the game. Now, when Georgia played great opponents such as Alabama in the SEC championship game last year, in Jacksonville against Florida,
right,
against LSU, you saw a more aggressive scheme. People, what about South Carolina? They had over 400 yards of offense. Jake threw it, what, 51 times?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't because it was conservative. The game plan changes to win games. The style of offense changes to your personnel and your strengths. Where was Georgia strong last year? DeAndre Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Not the receiving core. I think we can all agree on that. So why in the world would Georgia want to throw the ball 40 times a game? They wouldn't. Yep. So you're going to ask Jake to hand off to Swift, to call the right protections, to put you in good down and distance, and sometimes that meant he had a third down throw he had to make. That would lead to a lower completion percentage. Eric Zier can explain all this. He's brilliant. You've got the best color man in college sports. So the offense and the numbers were a byproduct of the system that was built to win the most games, which, by the way, it did. They went 11-1 and won the East and were in contention for the national championship until they lost to LSU. When, you know, and let's not forget, on the opening drive, you got a touchdown pass that's dropped. I talked mm-hmm. to Dave Aranda about this when I was in New Orleans for the national championship game. He said, James Coley, they had him shook. That bunch formation, we didn't know what we were going to do. Georgia came out and had LSU on the ropes early, but they could not convert the passes, whether it was the throws or the catches. Okay, so now, fast forward. Jake Fromm leaves. So you're Kirby Smart. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to look at your talent. And the first thing you do is bring in Jamie Newman. You say, now you've got a dual-threat quarterback. Now you're cooking. What can you do with Jamie Newman? Well, you've already addressed the receivers with the recruiting class. You've landed Trey McKitty, the pass-catching tight end from Florida State. You've landed this freakish tight end from Las Vegas that they're saying is the best tight end prospect in 10 years. So now you've got some offensive weaponry, and now you've got a dual-threat quarterback. So now you're Kirby, and you say, you know what? Now we can employ the coaches that can take advantage of this. So you go out and get an air raid expert like a Todd Monken. And you bring him here, and now Georgia's always going to be able to run the ball, mm-hmm. and that's okay. I mean, but at the same time, Kirby recognizes that he's going to coach to his talent, and that's all this is. People that think, you know, oh, there's this magic scheme out there, it doesn't work that way. You know, I remember the weekend that the Tennessee Titans beat the Patriots. I said, well, look at this. Look what the Tennessee Titans did. And what about the Saints and their Joe Brady offense? How'd they do that weekend? It comes down to players and coaches that know how to use players to the best of their ability. So I was and wasn't surprised. I was surprised Jake Fromm left, but once Jake left, that gave Kirby in his neutral mind a chance to look at his program again and say, okay, what do we do now? And when they got Jamie Newman, that's when the brilliance and the genius coaching hires began. And so now Georgia goes in a reinvigorated offense that we can't wait to see play. It's just an amazing turnaround, guys.
Fantastic stuff as always. Certainly going to be a heck of an offseason to watch, and hopefully we'll get some glimpses at maybe spring practice on how these changes will be. But a lot to look forward to, I think, Georgia fans, for 2020. Before we let you go, Mike, just real quickly, I know you work 24 hours a day, 365. You're in a machine, as we like to say, but will you get a chance to watch the Super Bowl this Sunday? And if so, what are your just quick predictions on that?
You know, I actually did take off the weekend to watch
Good.
The Super Bowl. Believe
Good for
it,
you.
I did.
You deserve it, Mike.
I still haven't figured out where I want to go yet to watch it, but what do I think about it?
Yeah.
Man, it's a fascinating matchup. You know, the San Francisco 49ers are the more balanced team. Kansas City is so explosive. You know, we've seen Kansas City kind of get themselves in a little bit of trouble there, right, against the Texans. You know, I say defense wins championships. I'd like to see the Chiefs win because of Mecole Hardman, but when push comes to shove, I think the 49ers are the most rounded team. I think I'd take the 49ers.
All right, you heard it here first. Put all your money on the 49ers, according to Mike Griffin.
All of it.
Good deal. Well, hey, Mike, thanks for your time as always. Good to have you back, by the way, after a couple weeks of just being busy and holidays, and we look forward to next week when Dave's back, and we'll ask you some more tough questions, all right?
I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you soon. Mike Griffith, DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.